There are a lot of websites with the changes, a lot of them. And also we have the black market on the streets. There's a real huge black market. You can stand on the street and say, I sell Bitcoin, and everybody will come to you.
Really? Holy shit. That's amazing. I wish Jamaica had that. I wonder if I went on the street in Jamaica and said, I sell Bitcoin, they'd probably try to rob me, to be honest. Welcome to One Love Bitcoin. I'm your host, Dredd, and I'm glad you guys are here with me again for another episode. Today, we are headed to Argentina. We're going to talk to Jeronimo, who is living down there, a former Airbnb employee who is making the best of his life because of Bitcoin. And we'll talk to him about, you know, black and blue markets down there, the hyperinflation currently happening, and all about, you know, his plans and his projects that are happening in Bitcoin right now, or in Argentina right now. I'm really excited about this chat. I love to explore South America, and I hope you guys like it too. As always, one love. All right, Jeronimo, welcome to One Love Bitcoin, Bridging.
I'm very happy to be in your show.
Thank you. I'm sure people in Argentina, I'm trying to say that correctly, is watching. So, you know, tell the people, you know, who you are and tell us about Argentina.
Well, my name is Jeronimo. I was working for Airbnb, and now because of these all these restrictions, I am like jobless. So,
oh no!
But I'm happy having a good time in Bitcoin, so I'm happy.
That's amazing. Have they banned Airbnb in Argentina?
No, it's not banned, but nobody can travel here because we have like restrictions for air passengers, like 600 air passengers a day. So international tourism is like broken.
Is that just for Buenos Aires, or is it all of Argentina is only 600 passengers?
Yes, for all Argentina.
Wow. What about business then? Like, because I used to be IT consulting, we would have to travel every week. So how does that work?
No, we are a special country and we do things like that always.
Okay, hold on. This has a lot of ramifications. So you have no travel. So you have no business travel happening. You have no tourism happening. So your tourism import is completely gone now in terms of people bringing in US dollars into the country to spend. What else does this affect? What about people who, you know, have like emergencies or need to go see family or, you know, life or death situations?
Restricted. There are a lot of people outside our country that want to come back and they can't.
Not even citizens? Like if you are an Argentinian citizen, you can't fly back in?
No, only 600 people a day.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. So how is that? And that's been ever since the beginning, since March 2020. It's been like that?
Yes, they change every day, but the plan is for people not to go outside, because if people go outside, they spend US dollars with their credit cards. Mm-hmm. And our central bank has likely no more reserves. Mm-hmm. So the government, I think, it's planning for that, not people not to spend the US dollars that we need in the central bank.
And because they don't spend the US dollars, but they continue to work, they're hoping that the GDP can make up for the deficit that they have in the central bank?
It's kind of weird because here we use pesos as the national currency, but mm-hmm. we think everything in US dollars. So if you want to buy a car, an apartment, you have to pay it in US dollars, cash mostly. And the government, we have an inflation, a very restricted inflation. Mm-hmm. We have $2 rates. We have the official rate and we have the blue market. It's the black market of the black US market. Dollar. So the official rate now is like $100, $1, 100 pesos. And then blue rate is like 180 pesos, $1. So it's a huge spread there.
My God. I'm seeing a very consistent parallel as I go from country to country. Like in Jamaica, it's the same thing. Like if you're going to buy a nice apartment or even rent one, people are asking quotes in US dollars, right? Mm-hmm. But what all Jamaicans get paid in Jamaican dollars, right? And we have an inflation that it's not necessarily as bad as Argentina right now, but ours mm-hmm. is one US dollar to 150 Jamaican dollars, right? And there's not really a blue or black market in Jamaica as much, but if you look like in Cuba, I mean, you know, put aside the riots that are happening there right now, which is, you know, go Cuba, SOS Cuba, but the Cuban peso is on the regular, like if you go to the government, they say it's one US dollar to 25 CUP, but on the black market, it's one US dollar to 50 CUP or 52 sometimes CUP. Mm-hmm. So that consistency of people wanting the US dollars and creating this black market is really interesting. It's like almost it's a protest in itself, right? To say, we are telling you what the real value of this shit currency is, yes. Not what you say it is.
Exactly. And it's funny because they think they protect the people. Governments think they protect the people with these restrictions, but they do the opposite. They make the richer richer and the poorer poorer. It's amazing.
What is the difference, what is the disparity between rich and poor in Argentina? Is there like a middle class or is it just really the elite and then everybody else is struggling?
Argentina historically had a huge middle class. We had, a long time ago, we had very low poverty, a huge middle class and a few rich people. But the time went and now we are polarizing that. We have a huge poverty and very little rich people, but the middle class shrunk a lot.
Yeah, and I'm guessing all that credit doesn't help either because people are trying to live off of the credit cards now.
Yes, Argentina doesn't have credit. We live all day by day. You can't buy a house with a mortgage. You can't. Everything is in cash. You get credit for, I don't know, a pair of shoes, and you pay it in 12 terms monthly, but the interest rate is really high. So,
is it as high cards, as Jamaica? Like Jamaica's like 40% for credit cards or credit.
Yeah, it's that. So our inflation is 50% annually. So the credit card charges you like 100. They have to be in business.
50% inflation. So
yes.
So if you, so I guess it makes sense why they price everything in the US dollars, right? But then if you're a person working, right? Let's say you have a job and you work, I don't know, for the entire year and save half of your pay. That half of your pay has really become quarter value.
Yeah.
By the time you finish working.
Yes, nobody saves in pesos. So there's no incentive to save in pesos.
Also, you can convert to US dollars easily?
No, you can't. You have a 200 monthly cap.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
wait, $200?
Yes, $200 monthly you can buy.
Ridiculous.
But listen, that has two taxes. That goes up to 65% of that is they get taxes from you.
Oh my God. So you're really only saving $135 out of the 200 that they allow you to save monthly. Did I get that right? Yeah, 135.
Yes, you can buy 200 US dollars, but you have to pay 65% taxes on that.
Oh, so I got that wrong. It's not $65, it's 65% of your $200.
Exactly. You have to pay that on top.
What do people save in then? Because I'm guessing no one would actually do that if they want to save their money.
Historically, Argentinians, they save in property. Property and, well, US dollar bills. You know, there's some statistic. The first country with most US dollar bills is United States, then it's Russia, and the third one we think is Argentina. $100 bills in the mattress, outside other countries. There is a lot of money in the country. So Argentinians have a lot of money outside, but nobody wants to spend it or invest here because there are no good conditions to make business.
Right, right. I guess the real estate is already too pricey, too high. So even if you save some US dollars under your mattress, it's probably not enough to buy a house anymore.
Exactly. Young people will never afford to buy a house. It's too expensive for them.
Right. Do they put in, because I've been seeing these other things happen in the US, like people putting their money in vintage or fancy pairs of sneakers, shoes. It is a sneaker market, and they use the sneakers as a store of value to try and, you know, save their money. Is anything like that happening in Argentina for the young people?
No. Savings is out of their mind. You have to, all the pesos you earn, you have to spend it. Have fun, drink beer, do whatever you want, but don't save.
Man, they're just promoting this fast-paced life nihilism, you know. Oh, we're all fucked anyway, so let's just party.
Exactly.
Oh God, I don't know what's gonna happen. So all right, so tell me then, here comes Bitcoin. how prevalent is it there? Because I would think that in the case where it's so extreme for young Argentinians, they would see Bitcoin and immediately be like, yes, fuck yes, thank God. Is that the case?
We have like the first capital controls came in 2014, I think. And there the Bitcoin community grew amazingly here because everybody discovered that could use Bitcoin to send money outside or bring money into the country. Uh-huh. So we have a really big community here. And now people are using like stable coins, you know? USDT, USDC, all that shit.
Okay, so they still think that the US dollar is a viable store of value.
For our country it is, I think
the US dollar is inflating itself right now, right? But I guess because Argentinian peso is inflating at such a higher rate, comparatively speaking, the US dollar still looks pretty attractive.
Exactly. What happens in 100 years in the US happens 1 year of inflation here in Argentina. So we are used to it. And another funny thing, you can ask everyone, the taxi driver, the guy in the shop, what the price of the US dollar, and they will tell you. We all know the price of the US dollar. and that things doesn't happen in Brazil or whatever.
Yeah, the only place I've seen that happen in is like Costa Rica and El Salvador, actually. And like 20 years ago, El Salvador just decided, all right, fuck our currency. We're just going to use the US dollar. And I think that's why they were such a ripe place for Bitcoin to become legal tender. So I'm wondering if that's going to be the path for all countries. Like your dollar has to hyperinflate first. You have to give up on it and use a more stable currency or a stable coin. And then you say, okay, not since we're using the stable coin, we might as well use Bitcoin.
Yeah, for Bitcoin to be a unit of account, we have a long road. But I think we conquered the store of value. It's conquered. Yeah. Medium of exchange, well, it will come. Some people will use it, some people know, but the unit of account will be the last thing to earn.
Tell me more about the community down there. You said the Bitcoin community is pretty strong because of this, right? Like, is there a meetup that happens, or is there an actual social connection, or is it just people online buying and saving it?
Well, we had a lot of meetups before the pandemic, mm-hmm. And now, well, everything goes online. There is a Facebook group with like more than 70,000 people in it.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty big. It's all across Argentina. And and are there like, is it gotten to the point where they're starting to develop on top of Bitcoin? Like, you know, create any local applications or any websites or educational videos, any of that stuff?
Yes, there is a Bitcoin space. It's called a Bitcoin space that they do a lot of meetups, talking, everything.
Is there a website for that? Like bitcoin.space or something?
I think it's called Bitcoin Argentina ONG. It's an ONG.
What does ONG mean? Sorry, I'm slow. I don't know what it means.
Non-governmental organization.
Okay. Okay.
I say
organization of non. Yeah. Organization de non-governmental or something like that. Governmentia. I've been trying to learn Spanish. I need to get better at this. Okay. So it's a non-governmental organization online that you can connect with other Bitcoiners in Argentina called Bitcoin Argentina ONG.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, cool. So is that where you would go if you wanted to buy or sell Bitcoin, or do you guys have an actual exchange?
No, there are a lot of websites with exchanges, a lot of them. And also we have the black market on the streets. There's a real huge black market. You can stand on the street and say, I sell Bitcoin, and everybody will come to you.
Really? Holy shit. That's amazing. I wish Jamaica had that. I wonder if I went on the street in Jamaica and said, I sell Bitcoin, they'd probably try to rob me, to be honest. I don't know, but that's a really cool thing. I didn't realize that it was that popular. And no one thinks it's a scam there anymore?
No, yes. A lot of people think that Bitcoin is a scam. These economists from, big media, they all think that Bitcoin is a scam, as always. But we are having fun with them.
Yeah, we just meme them and tease them, right?
Exactly.
So what do you think it would take for, I know this is a big question, but what do you think it would take for the country to A, open back up again, you know, putting aside the pandemic political bullshit, what do you think it would take? How could Bitcoin help people to start wanting to come back to Argentina and spend their money and live there again?
Well, today the attraction is Argentina is really, really cheap. You can drink wine or eat meat for, I don't know, $10, a very good meal in a restaurant, the night, a fancy restaurant for $10. And I think that the peso, the national currency, should destroy first. Once it's destroyed, people will go to Bitcoin. We need this blow off top of hyperinflation. Yes. If not, it's like a slowly death for years and years and years. It's continuously going downwards. Someone has to cut it and boom.
Mm-hmm. And then once that happens, people will come back because they'll want to come back and spend. First they'll take advantage of the
low price. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then they'll come back and stay if there is a Bitcoin standard. Yeah, I like that idea of forcing hyperinflation, even though it's not going to be pretty, you know?
No. But we have two or three of them, so we are used to it.
True. And I guess it's, I hate to say the same thing for Jamaica, because I feel like we are even further behind than you are, you know? Like, at least you guys are getting inflation at 50% per year now. Mm-hmm. We still have it at, you know, but the fake one is 2 or 3%, but we're probably still at like 15 to 20% per year, you know?
Yeah.
And it's being well hidden as well. Like, exactly. I don't know if Argentina's probably used to it so much that they can see it now, but Jamaica, it's so slow and so insidious that, you know, they'll act as if the prices are stable. When you go to the supermarket, you personally know that you're paying 20% more for your groceries than you paid last year, you know, but mm-hmm. then they're still lying to you saying, no, you're not. It's the same price. Cognitive dissonance. I did want to note that I remember hearing that Argentina had some legendary steak and beef to eat down there. I think that's one of my bucket list things.
Argentina steak.
Are they the cows? What is the deal there? Like, do you guys have, like, you know, that those ancient cows that don't get GMO'd or no black Angus? It's only like purebred cows or cattle?
Some part of our cows are grass-fed in all the pampas. They are the new ones, new method of making meat, of course, but I think the majority is grass-fed in the pampas. And it's cheap and it's good, so everybody wants it.
I want it. I want to get some of that. But that's the thing, right? I'm hyping up myself to say, all right, I'm going to travel through South America. Because I want to go, I'm trying to go to Colombia and then El Salvador and then come down to Argentina. But now you're telling me that there's only 600 people a day.
Yes. And we need to finish this pandemic.
Oh, what about driving?
You can drive.
Will
I think you can drive. It's only for airport restrictions, I think.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty stupid, but okay.
Driving is a long way south.
It is. I'd be like, if I fly into Brazil, let's say near, you know, south of Rio or south of Florianopolis, I could just drive over the border. And then could I drive over the border and then take a domestic flight, like a local flight?
Yes.
Down to Buenos Aires?
Yes. Yes. You can.
I think we made a plan, man. You know, might work. So what are you doing now then? If Airbnb is really restrictive and you're a little bit more free, what do you find yourself doing with your time?
I have some fun with doing like B2B deals, selling Bitcoin and stable coins. Mm-hmm. And well, I have a like a project. I own some land in Mendoza, the wine country.
Okay.
So I'm having a plan to make lots for selling people to do houses there. So I'm working on that.
Okay. Cheap, not cheaper, it's affordable housing.
Affordable housing property. So with all that money I get, I can buy Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. That's, it always comes back to that, right? It's just a shame that, you know, well, I guess it's not a shame. It's an opportunity, because if all the housing market is pricing people out down there, then you should be able, would you like because I know your land is probably worth a lot more than they can afford. So would you build the property on the land and then just purposely lower the price so that young people can afford it? Like, how would you, or would you just price it a regular price?
Okay, hermanos y hermanas, it's that time again. I have a faucet, what we call a standpipe in Jamaica, and we're gonna give you guys free stats. So Geronimo, tell your people in Buenos Aires that they can go to argentina.onelovebitcoin.com and they can see a faucet there, look like a QR code. And if they have a Lightning wallet, they can get free Bitcoin, free Satoshis. And if you're in the US, you can buy from Swan Bitcoin. Swan Bitcoin is the cheapest place to buy. You can DCA, you can auto withdraw. They also have Swan Private. So if you're doing, I think it's like 25 grand or 100 grand or more, I don't even remember, but you can call them. They're great customer service. They'll hook you up. So swanbitcoin.com/Rastafari. I think you can get $5 for free if you use my code and I get $5 as well. It might even be $10. I don't remember. Either way, go to Swan Bitcoin. They're good. All right, guys, back to the show.
No, so this is a project for people. I need people to afford this project. So I will make small plots and you can pay in terms. In US dollars, but you can pay, I don't know, 36 terms in US dollars. So it's good for me and it's good for them.
Okay, that makes sense. Do you build them yourself? Are you like into construction?
No, no. I'm working with a friend that has all the development tools for doing that.
Okay, I'm trying to go that direction. I've been in tech for most of my life and just sitting behind a computer, and now I feel like I need to get out and start growing things. I feel like this world that we're going into is going to be very different, where you need to be able to survive or to sustain. You know, you can't always depend on some currency to go and buy food at the store. You should have something that you're growing, or that you can, you know, an animal that you can breed and sustain and live off of in the future. But I might be a little bit of an extremist in that sense, but I do feel like it's important that people start becoming more independent, because the dependency on the state is why we got where we are today, right?
Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, man. Oh, what is your favorite song? What, like Argentinian or music or anything local that you like?
My favorite Argentina songwriter, it's called Norberto Papo Napolitano.
Oh, I gotta write this one down. Papo. I'm gonna look it up now. Is it a YouTube?
Papo. Yes, Papo with double P the second time.
Papo?
Papo.
Mm-hmm.
Papo Blues.
Papo Blues. Okay. Sucio y...
Susi Despolijo.
Is that the song you're talking about, or that's just one of them?
Papo made a lot of songs. Susi Despolijo is a very good one. And he also had a hard rock band called Riff. Riff.
R-I-F-F?
Exactly.
Okay. Which one of the songs is your favorite?
Ruedas de Metal.
There was a lot of songs here.
Yes.
Okay. Can you message it to me? Can you send it in Telegram?
Here in the chat.
Yeah, or here in the chat. Yeah. Ruedas de Metal. Oh, heavy metal, like literally called heavy metal.
Yes.
Let's see this thing. So I'm just gonna listen to a little bit of it. I'm a big music buff. I like Papo was a rock star. Nice. I love listening to different music from around the world, because it lets me see where all the music's mixed together, you know, because some people use, like you, like rock. Some people use blues. Some people use jazz. And some people use, you know, different indigenous music from Africa or from parts of Europe, and then mix them together for their own likings. So I would have thought that, you know, you'd be listening to much more, I don't know, salsa, samba style, you know, with the European mix.
Argentina, it's very different from all South America. Yes. You really see the contrast when you travel. We are like a different country. It's like it used to be like a little Europe down here. Yeah, I think after the two wars, the World War II and World War III, we have a lot of Italians and Europeans immigration. It's like we are 90% Italians.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that? I don't know the history of World War II, one and two. Is it because they were running from the Germans and they came to Argentina?
Yes, Europe was absolutely destroyed, and people have nothing to eat, nothing, no money, absolute poverty. And they came to Argentina because it was like going now to the US. It was the land of promises. So we have a huge immigration, and people really had a good life here. They had beef, they had a lot of land to do things, and they built a lot of things.
So why don't you guys speak Italian then?
I think because we were conquered by the Spanish.
So the Italians came over, and then in Argentina, the Spanish came and conquered you in Argentina?
Yes, we were conquered by the Spanish in the 19th and in the 17th century. And in 1810, we got independent.
Okay.
And well, after...
I see. The indigenous Argentinians got conquered by the Spanish. And then the Italians came over to live with you guys and learn Spanish.
After World War I and World War II, we have this huge Italian immigration to Argentina.
Okay. So are there parts of Argentina that are still have a lot of native Argentinians?
There are some in the north, especially. Mm-hmm. But small groups only.
Okay. It's mostly European style Argentinian. Okay. Cool, man. All right. I think we've been going for almost an hour now. I wanted to give you a chance to, you know, if there's anything else you wanted to bring up or anything that you were working on, that you wanted to tell the people, you could do it. You could let us know anything interesting that you wanted to put out there.
No, mostly I'm having fun with my Umbral node, opening channels and seeing how this new layer will bring us new development and new opportunities. I'm happy with your net of nodes, and I'm there, one of them.
What are your thoughts on what's gonna happen with the PlebNet? With all these lightning nodes that we're building? Because I have no idea. What do you think it's going to become?
I heard somewhere that a lightning channel will be a good investment for the future. Today you open a channel for, I don't know, $500. And in the future, that will maybe bring a lot of roots and fees for payments. So there I am. I am opening them.
You're like, please make it very, very good. I think you're right. I think not only will it be good for routing payments, you know, to make more sats that way without losing any of your own money, I think it's also going to be good because I'm seeing people like Impervious AI. They're building a way you can use your Lightning node as a VPN. So yes. People who use VPN in your country today, they could use your Lightning node and pay you sats to transmit data through your Lightning node. And I think it goes even further than that. I think there'll actually be some kind of, I don't want to get too crazy and say an internet layer, but I feel like you could build an internet layer on top of our Lightning nodes, and we get paid instead of an ISP or your internet service provider, we would get paid as Lightning nodes to serve the community with internet access.
Yes. Well, today there is this app called Sphinx where you can chat.
Yes.
Using Lightning Network, and well, not today. There are a lot of podcasts. Also, you can listen to them on Breeze Wallet, I think.
Yep, Breeze does it, and Sphinx does it. I thought there was one more too that I'm forgetting. But if you go to Adam Curry, who started the whole podcast thing, had a website called podcastindex.org, and it lists out all the different apps that you can use with Lightning to get paid for, you know, listening to podcasts or streaming stuff or talking to people or whatever. And it's really exciting. It's really exciting that we have these nodes that are just sitting there connected to everyone, and whatever they build now in the future, just add it to our node and make some money.
Exactly. Yeah, we are building the infrastructure for that.
We're building the what?
The infrastructure. The
infrastructure. Yeah. We're building the layer. Yeah.
We have 2 years without foreign people coming to Argentina, so I'm losing all my English.
That's fine. You'll get it right back. You'll get it. I need to come down there and get some Spanish going, because I mean, as you can tell, the center of attention right now is coming south. It's coming to South America. You know, Mexico has always been good with Bitcoin, and they've been more free, to be honest with you, than most other countries. And now El Salvador is doing it. I'm hearing a bunch of different rumblings about Paraguay, Panama.
Paraguay, yes. We are waiting for Paraguay.
Right? I'm excited for that one. So I feel like if you're paying attention right now, you better be learning Spanish. Like, Español es muy importante.
It is.
I'm going to be doing my best to learn. By the time we talk again, hopefully we can talk in Spanish.
Yes, I'm much better in Spanish than English.
Okay, good. Do you know? Do you listen to Camila and Javier? They have a show on Swan that's in Spanish, in Espanol.
No, I don't know who they are.
Okay, so just look it up online. I think it's today's Monday, right? Yeah, every Monday they have a Bitcoin and Espanol show on Swan. Just type in Swan Bitcoin.
Yes, I know who is Camila. Yes. Yes, I remember her.
Yeah, man. Just watch that show. It'll be in Spanish, and you can talk to them, type to them and everything. And they're trying to spread the news across all of South America in Spanish. So
fantastic.
Yeah, jump in. All right, Geronimo. This has been a great talk. You know, I love what you're doing down there. And when I come down there, when I finally sneak over the border, I'm going to be hitting you up.
Call me and we'll have some beef.
Cool, man. One love, brother.
One love. Thank you very much for this time.
No problem, man. Later.